Ephesians chapter 6, coming to the end of the household code this morning, but we have a few more sermons on this. Oh, children, this is for you. We will go ahead and read the entire household code again this morning. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. The word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, teach us to listen. Plow up our hearts that the seed of the word might take root and bear fruit 100-fold. Help us to honor our fathers and mothers. We pray these things in the name of Christ, who always honored his father and mother. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, children, this sermon is for you. Paul obviously assumed that there would be children present when this letter was read. He doesn't say, and tell the children when they come back from children's church that they need to obey their parents. He speaks to you, children, right here in worship with everyone else, right along with the fathers, the mothers, the parents, the slaves, the slave owners, are you, children, sitting in the worship service listening to God's word. And the message is simple. Obey your parents. Do what your parents tell you to do. That's your obligation. And Paul tells you, God tells you, this is right. So obey your parents. That means if your room is dirty and your mom says, pick up your room, you grab your socks and you put them in the drawer. And you take your toys and put them in the toy box. And you take your Legos and put them back in the Lego holder. Children, obey. And you're grabbing the salt and you're dumping it all in the pot. And your mom says, stop! You don't keep doing it. You turn the salt right side up and put it back on the counter. Children, obey. Now, how do you have the strength to listen to your parents? We're your parents, or I'm one of your parents. I'm a parent. And I know parents are cranky, and they issue contradictory commands, and they say, pick up your room, and then they say, come here, and then they say, go over there, and then they say, run to the garage and get this for me, and you say, I'm still on the first command. How do you handle it when your parents are unreasonable? Well, there's a little secret here in the text that says, obey in the Lord. How can you be in the Lord? Well, this phrase has occurred many times in this book, and it means when you're trusting Jesus, when you're united to Him by faith. The Bible says children can be in the Lord. Children, obey your parents, for this is pleasing to God, says Colossians 3. So how do you handle it when your parents make demands of you that you feel that you can't meet? The answer is right here. Do it in the Lord. Put your trust in God to give you the strength to do what God wants you to do. To pick up those toys, to put away those dirty clothes, to stop when you're poking your baby sister in the eye and your daddy says no. So this is a message that's very realistic. Obey your parents while trusting God to help you do it. God has given you what you need to be obedient. You have the Lord. You have His strength. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you need help, you can pray for help, and God promises to give you the strength to obey your parents. So children, that's the message for you. Obey your parents by trusting in the Lord. Because it's right. Right? Children have a stronger sense of right and wrong than anybody else does. Because their sense of right and wrong hasn't been blurred and beaten by too many years of living in a sinful world. Children, you know what's wrong. You know what's right. And you know it's right to obey your parents because this is obeying God. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? You know that it's not right if your brother gets a whole piece of chocolate and you only get half a piece. You're tuned into that. You know it's not right. But it's not right for God, who is owed everything, who's owed a whole piece of your obedience, to only get half a piece. That's not fair. That's not right. So that's the message to you, kiddos. Obey your parents. Listen to your mommy and daddy. And do it in the strength of knowing and trusting the Lord Jesus. Well, that's the part of the sermon for children, but Paul doesn't just talk to children. He quotes the fifth commandment, which is addressed to everyone who has parents. Now, if you're sitting in this room, I happen to know that you have a father and mother. And no matter where your relationship with your parents is at, whether they're still alive, whether they're gone, whether you're a 2-year-old who's dependent on them for everything, or a 50-year-old who is an active adult right along with your parents, or whether you're caring for aging parents who can't do much without you, this command applies to you. Honor your father and mother. Now, why did God give us this general command? Well, because at different ages, honor looks very different. If your 92-year-old senile father tells you to do X, Y, Z, rent him a car so that he can drive to Las Vegas and gamble away his retirement savings. How do you honor him in that? You say, no. No, I won't, Dad. I honor you. I respect you too much to allow you to do that. But if you're two and your father says, take your bowl over to the dishwasher, you cannot say no. That dishonors your parents. See, we know what honor is because we know what dishonor is. To dishonor somebody is to make them look bad, to talk bad about them, to denigrate them, to run them down, to roll our eyes and huff when we're spoken to. Again. That dishonors parents. God tells us, honor your parents. Show them that they are important. Show them that you listen to them. At every age, to honor your parents means to listen respectfully to them, to give them freely of your time, attention, and assistance, to thank them regularly for their work for you and the priceless gift of life that they passed on to you, and to pray for them. Nature itself teaches us to honor our father and mother, and this applies whether they're still with us or whether they're gone. Right? Your parents might have been dead 30 or 40 years, and you can still dishonor them by how you talk about them, how you joke about them. This applies to in-laws too. Honor your spouse's parents. In fact, of course, the command applies not just to fathers and mothers, but to all superiors in age, gifts, position, whether in the church, in the state, or in the family. Right? Many of us appear to honor the boss at work, but then in the break room, we have a few choice words about his intellect and his lineage and this and that, and his marksmanship, and his name it. But the fifth commandment doesn't let you off the hook. To honor is to show reverence and respect, whether the person is alive or dead, listening or not listening, smart or dumb, agrees with you politically, or disagrees with you politically, agrees with you theologically, or disagrees with you theologically. Right? You will never find a command in Scripture that says, honor your father and mother if they have it together. Honor your father and mother if they treated you right. This is a command of foremost importance, the apostle says. He calls it a number one command, a first command. And it comes with a promise. The promises of long life in the land. Now, when Paul was writing, the best estimates we have tell us that probably 40 to 50% of children in the Roman Empire died before their 10th birthday. Now, there's a lot of people under 10 in this room. Can we imagine half of them no longer being with us by about the year 2025? And yet, in that era, in that time of dreadful infant mortality, Paul writes, children, obey your parents, and you will live long. How could he say that? Well, he could say it because it's a tendency, as we've talked about with Proverbs. This means barring accident, barring illness, barring these things, the natural tendency of obedience is towards long life. Just as we could say, if you eat healthy, you'll live a long time. So sure enough, you eat your broccoli and you eat your Wheaties, and then you get run over by a garbage truck. And you say, see, I ate healthy, and here I am, dead. It's pointless to eat healthy. What? There's a logical error in there. All other things being equal, if you obey your parents, you will live. The Bible gives this promise and teaches us to honor all over the place. Respect for lawful authority is not just mentioned here and there in the Bible, which then mostly tells us to insist on our rights. Far from it. So since this sermon is already different, and I already preached specifically to children, I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes or so just reading to you various passages in which the Bible commends honor and respect for authority. Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests who despise my name? I am a father, I am a master, says God. Honor me. You honor those people on earth? Honor me. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall respect his father and his mother, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Proverbs 31. This wise woman, we know she's wise because her children respect her. Her children rise up and bless her. They rise up. What does that mean? Well, that's the opposite of slouching. Her children don't loll back on their beds wearing hoodies and say, thanks, Mom. No, when she comes into the room, her children jump up. 1 Kings 2, so Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him, and the king arose to meet her, bowed before her, and sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Did Solomon honor his mother? He's the king. But he didn't say, on your knees, Mom. He bowed before her. He set her in the place of honor on a throne on his right hand. It wasn't, well, Mom, I get the throne. You can sit on the floor. No, honor your father and mother. 1 Peter 3, thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Any wives in here call their husband Lord? Please, Lord, may we go out to dinner tonight? But Peter clearly seems to think of this as a positive thing. And we know that Peter was married. He's the only apostle that we can be sure that he was married. But in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter says, wives, honor your husbands. Go so far as to give them these titles of respect. Now, obviously, if you can't use a respectful title respectfully, then it becomes a way of dishonoring somebody. But Peter is saying, honor. Leviticus 19, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Hebrews 13, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Remember your leaders, do what they did. Philippians 3, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. What does Paul say? Do what I do, follow my example, honor me. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Do what I'm doing. That's how you show your respect. We certainly can think of that on the job site. The boss says, do it this way, and you watch him, and then proceed to do it your own way. That's what we call dishonoring. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Slaves, obey your masters according to the flesh. 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to a king as the supreme or as governors sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Romans 13, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Whoever therefore submits to the authority submits to God. Proverbs 4, when I was a son to my father, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Let your heart hold fast my words. How do you honor someone? Preeminently by listening. Right? This is how you can honor anybody. Your superior, your equal, your inferior. All of us want to be listened to. We all believe that the reason we're talking is because we have something that other people should hear. What's the best way to dishonor somebody? To not listen, right? Just speak over them, interrupt them, walk away while they're talking to you. Children, do you ever do this? Your parents are talking to you and you just start talking? Or you just kind of wander away? Adults, do we ever do this mentally? I'm still standing here, but in my mind, I'm in my happy place, thinking about my Christmas list. Honor by listening. Proverbs 23, I quote this all the time. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Enough said. Exodus 18, Moses' father-in-law says, now listen to me, I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God. You bring the disputes to God, and so on. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses listened, right? Moses didn't say, okay, fine, did you lead 2 million people out of Egypt? No, I didn't think so. Shut up, pa-in-law. No, Moses opened his ears, he listened, and then he did what his father-in-law told him to do. Hebrews 12, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? 1 Peter 2, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Unreasonable boss doesn't let you off the hook. This finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated you endure it with patience? But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. 2 Samuel 18. The people honored David. The people said, you should not go out. If we flee, they will not care about us, even if half of us die. They will not care about us, but you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that you should be ready to help us from the city. The people honored the king that day. From Matthew 22, they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And what belongs to God? Honor, respect, reverence, obedience. Render to all, Romans 13, what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 1 Timothy 5, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Honor people in the church who teach you God's word. Genesis 45, Joseph honored his father. I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your household and all you have be impoverished. And Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their little ones. Shem and Japheth honored. Genesis 9, they took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away, so that they did not see their father's nakedness. Honor father and mother. Honor those who are over you at home, at church, at work, in the state. That is the message of the fifth commandment. And how do you do it? Paul already said it. In the Lord. How do you have the guts to put up with an unjust boss? By looking to Jesus. We've said over and over with this household code that the only way to walk in harmony like this is looking to Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Chapter 5, verse 2. Jesus gave himself to death for you. And you give up your rights, your desires, your unwillingness to listen to someone who's boring you, your innate desire to not honor your boss because he's an idiot, or your mother-in-law, or whatever. Right? God's word says, if you're in Christ, if you're united to Christ by faith, if you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, then you can walk in harmony. And it will go well with you, and you will live long on the earth. Children, obey. Everybody, including children, honor. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to honor those whom you have placed over us. Forgive us, we pray, for our independent minds that think that honor and respect ought to be earned, and that we have no need to honor anyone unless we feel like it. Father, your word says otherwise. Teach us to submit, to show great respect and deference, and to truly have great respect and deference for those whom you have placed over us in society, in the church, and at home. We pray especially for the children whom you have called to obey their parents. We ask that you would give them of your Spirit, that they, like the Lord Jesus, might be subject to their parents. Help them to listen to your word. Help them to want to obey you, and help them to seek Christ for the strength to obey. Father, we pray that for them and for us all. In the name of Christ, who obeyed you perfectly and who died to forgive us for our sins of dishonor and disobedience, it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.